Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What these young bloods have to understand, that this game has always been and will always be about buckets.
Just attack the basket.
Welcome to Buckets, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. My name is Matt Moore. I'm the senior NBA writer for the Action Network, joined by Jay Money. You can find him on Twitter at JayMoneyIsMoney and in the Action Network app. This is your Tuesday Best Bets episode for all the action in the National Basketball Association. A reminder that everything we talk about today can be found in the award-winning Action Network app. Best way for you to track your picks. You get up to the second information where the bets and money are coming in on. You can actually set line alerts so that you know when the line moves, which is crucial. And I'll be setting up a few of those on the games that we're going to talk about tonight. But as always, we'll just go ahead and get right into it. Jay, I'm going to need your best bets. I'll give mine, then we'll talk about them. What are your best bets for the Tuesday slate?
Best bets, man. A rare five of them for me, man. Shooter shoot. Mavs trifecta spot. If you guys don't know what that is, it's taking the same team in the first quarter to cover the first quarter, the first half, and the full game line. So three plays in one game. Also taking the Pacers plus the one and Cavs minus three as well.
Okay. I'm going to take the Cavs Knicks over. That number currently, as we record this on Monday night, sitting at 219. We'll see if a larger line pops overnight. I will probably like it to any number that it gets to. I have this projected at 228, so over 219. I'll get to the cap on why in a minute. I'm also going to take the Los Angeles Lakers. They are plus four versus the Los Angeles Clippers on Tuesday night, and I'll also sprinkle on the money line at plus 144. So let's go ahead and get started with yours. So Mavs first quarter, first half, full game versus the Washington Wizards, a team that beat them when I did NBA bet stream when they were in Washington earlier this year. The Mavericks is a home favorite, have been one of the worst teams in the league. Jay, why are you trusting this Mavericks team at home?
Yeah, this isn't any regular game, in my opinion. Obviously, I mean, I spent 25 years in Dallas, so I have a little info on the Mavs and how they think as well. Now, that last game where I was on the Mavs, actually trifecta spot in that game on November 10th when they lost in Washington. Little quick note, though, they did have to take a bus ride. It was a back-to-back. They had to take a bus ride from Orlando up to Washington. They totally ran out of gas in the second half of that game, but they still came out there, covered the first quarter, first half. This is actually a triple revenge spot going back to last year as well. In the most recent of last year, they lost 135-103. Luka has something against Porzingis. Dinwiddie always has something against Washington Wizards as well. This is the F Porzingis game, in my opinion. Four straight home game for the Mavs. Bounce back spot, must win spot for the Mavs here. Struggling, right? But I do think there's some substance as well. Luka kind of calling out the team saying, oh, I need help. Well, in my opinion, I think that the role players are going to take that to heart and come to play a lot better. And they have the past couple games. They blew out the Heat by 25 points on national TV. And then they covered first quarter, first half versus Clippers. Just couldn't get it done in the full game at Elwin. So this one, I'd like the Mavericks early. The first quarter should be coming out around minus two. I'm seeing 3.5 fours out there for first half. I don't care. 4.5 full game as well, minus the seven. I fully believe Mavs win this game by 15 to 20 points.
All right. Well, let's start here. The Mavericks at home, 8-13-1, 38% against the spread as a home favorite this season. That is, I believe, the worst mark in the NBA at home as a favorite. That's been a really rough spot for them. So you're going against that now. Like, some of those numbers will change over the course of the season. And it was even worse earlier. So they have ticked up a few of those. And particularly, they've taken a little bit care of business when it's been bad teams. As far as the motivational spot go, I will note that Kristaps Porzingis on the injury report listed out for this game. Now, that might mean that, hey, I'm getting better value as one of their better players, but that's obviously factored into the line. He's got a sprained left ankle. He will not be playing in this game. Christian Wood's also out along with Maxi Kleber. This could be the Dwight Powell show along with some JaVale McGee minutes, which are always kind of dicey for the Mavericks. I want to look at what the Mavericks have been at home in the first quarter of the season. I want to take a look and see what they have done there. The Dallas Mavericks at home this season, 10-15 against the spread in the first quarter. First half spread at home, Dallas Mavericks have gone 12-12. So not bad there, which is kind of a comforting point. My number on this is exactly on the dot. Like, it's 7.5. Like, I think this number is completely reasonable. However, I will say this, like, that 7.5, is without the injuries for the full season. So let's take off like a point for Christian Wood. I'll give Christian Wood a point, 'cause he's pretty good. Like, Maxi Kleber, Christian Wood's a point. So that gets us down to like, I've actually got minus 7.4. So that gets us like 6.4. Porzingis is probably worth 1.5. So that gets us back up to 8. So I got like a half point value on this. Not enough for me to go in on it. My only hesitation here is just like, Dallas has been so damn unpredictable and hard to trust. Like, I wrote about this in the trends piece on Monday in Action. You can check it out in the Action app. The reason that they are so terrible against the spread is that their underlying metrics say that this team should be better than it is. Like, they're not losing by a ton. They're not their offense is, they don't have one unit or the other really dragging them down. The numbers say that this team should be considerably better than it is, and yet they still find ways to lose. What's like beyond the Dinwiddie spot? I like in terms of the revenge spot without Porzingis playing. What's the reason to think that this is going to be the moment where the Mavs actually show up?
It's still a huge game for the Mavs here. And even though Porzingis is not playing, he's still sitting over there on the bench. And it didn't matter. Dinwiddie and Bertans will always want to smash this Wizards team. They're down right now. They just traded Hachimura. And it's just, think about this, man. They're keeping Kuzma, but Kuzma has literally told them that he's not going to sign an extension. He doesn't want to be there. And he's probably going to, you know what I'm saying? He says he's going to test the market, right? So yep. He doesn't want to be there. They're still trying to keep him. We know that Bill would rather not be there. He's only there because they're paying him well. There's no other team that really – that he wants to go to took him. So there's a bet against here for the Wizards, in my opinion. I think, and they're about to make another trade as well, but I think this is a buy low on the Mavs, and I think this is a sell on the Wizards here. Lost three straight to the Wizards here. This is a big game for the Mavs. They can really start turning things around. Four straight home game as well. So yeah, I actually, to be honest with you, I think the first quarter is probably one of the best spots here. I think they get it going early, but I see them being up by double digits at the end of the first quarter. They're not looking back in this one.
If you want to, FanDuel Sportsbook, partner of the show, you know, you can same game parlay that. If you like Jay's cap on it, you can just go ahead and put those together. First quarter full game is minus 120. First half full game is minus
1 for first quarter. Put me down for that first quarter full game as well, man. I want that minus 120. Yeah, because they just need to be up at the end of the first quarter, and they just need to win the game in that one. I like that one. Yeah, give me that one. I like that too.
All right.
The six plays for me, man.
I like it. Pile it on, man. You've been careful. Time to fire off. All right. Give me your cap on the Cavs game, and then I'll give you why I like the total. You like the Cavs here, -3 on the road versus the New York Knicks.
Yes, sir. Give me the Cavs here. Donovan Mitchell, probable here. Revenge spot off a loss, 81-92 on December 4th. They didn't have Jared Allen, no one. They only scored 16 points in the first quarter. Lowest point total of the season, 81 points. I see them busting out offensively. It actually goes well with your over. You look at the Knicks as well, 0-4 straight up and against the spread last four. Really starting to slow down. And they're missing Mitchell Robinson bad over their last three games. Without him, dead last in defense in the NBA in this one. I think Mitchell definitely want to show out in MSG. Matt, is he from New York? I know that he loves the Mets. I'm pretty sure he's from New York, but I see Mitchell going crazy in this game. Cavs, top to bottom, a better team in my opinion here. Give me the Cavs in the revenge spot, -3 in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, he is from Elmsford, New York, in Westchester County. So
yes,
that's where he was born, and he went to school in Connecticut at Prep. But yeah, definitely a New York guy. That's why he was linked to the Knicks as much as he was.
I'd look at his props. I don't bet a lot of props, and it's not official play, but I think Mitchell is going for 30 in his sleep tomorrow.
A couple of things I like about this. I've got this at 2.3, so a little bit under the number. But the Cavs numbers have been kind of suppressed because of the Mitchell injury. They've been haven't been as good lately. They when with Mitchell, they were much higher in my power rating. So that kind of leans towards this being a better number. Maybe like full strength, this probably looks more like -4. So that point of value. The other thing here that I think is really interesting is just like the Knicks are horrible at home. Like they're home court is so powerful in the league right now. And yet, like, there's a couple of teams that are just garbage at home. The Knicks are 8-14-2 against the spread at home. And that's including they have lost. They have against the spread. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 2-7 in their last 9 against the spread at home. So the Knicks do not do well here. It's probably the books are not going to shade it that far in that direction. So this probably underestimates what their actual power rating should be on this game if you factor in how bad the Knicks are at home. Mine does factor in the Knicks being bad at home. They actually lose some points based off of being at home. They lose about 2 points here for being at home because of that performance. But even then, I still kind of, like, I'll say this, I lean your way. I may just play Cavs money line. I may be a coward and just play Cavs money line along with the total. I will say, love the total here. Number's 219. I got a 228.6. Mitchell back. The Knicks defense. So here's like an interesting thing. These power ratings are going to be based off of the full season performance. They'll make manual adjustments for how teams have played in the last 15, last 10, etc. But they're not going to be able to capture like the recency of the moment. That's where we find these spots. If a team is just really struggling on one end, you can take advantage of it. The Knicks are 27th in defense in the last 2 weeks. They've been top 10 over the course of the season. This is a top 10 offense defense. So their power rating is going to, that's why this is only 3, right? Like Donovan Mitchell's back. This is a much better team. The Knicks are garbage at home and it's only 3. Part of that is factoring a better Knicks defense, I think, that we're going to see. And if we look back at kind of what's gone on this season, we do see that Cavs games have gone significantly over on the road. Knicks games have gone over at home. Knicks games, the over is 14-10 at 58%. The Cavaliers on the road, that one has only come out to 11-12, so that's been a lot worse. However, that's versus a much lower, a total that's 2 points higher. Their average total is 221, and they've still gone over that route. So I think if nothing else, like the best kind of way to look at this is if the Knicks hang in this game, it's because their offense carries them. If the Cavs win this game, they might put up 120-130 on the Knicks solo and go ahead and breeze over this number. So I'll play the over, and I might do a little bit of a Knicks or a Cavs money line and the over there just for fun. Might put that one in as well. Talk to me about the Indiana Pacers. This is a bold, this is a heat check from you right now, Jay Money, taking the Indiana Pacers without Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah, he's close to being back, so at least practice out there. And I do think sometimes it gives teams juice, seeing their guy close to coming back, right? Knowing he's been out now. The Pacers have lost 7 straight. I don't care, man. So I faded the Bulls today. I had the Hawks first quarter and full game. I still like the Cav. Obviously, Hunter out before the game. That one really kind of pissed me off. But the best defender on the team. But regardless of that, man, still a little pissed, but it happens. I still think the Bulls are somewhat fade. Are they rested? Yes, but they did somewhat come off a little mini vacation going over there to Paris. Right, so I know they only played 1 game in 6 days, but still had to fly 2 pairs and back home as well. A little bit of jet lag, so it didn't show up today, which they came out lackluster. The Hawks just couldn't really take advantage of. But I said they're gonna lose one of these games, so back to back coming in off the spot, I don't like it for it. And I feel like that's why this line is super low as well. You got to give it to me right there, man. Right, I mean, this line's sitting at -1 for the Bulls. Pacers, no Haliburton, they've lost with 7 straight games, but the Pacers are somewhere teetering on a win, in my opinion. If you saw that game, game versus the Phoenix Suns. It was a really scrappy type of game. It went basically down to the wire as well. And the Suns are playing well right now at the house. Four times revenge game. They've lost four straight to the Bulls in this one. Lost earlier this year, 124-109, October 26th. That line was -7 for the Bulls with Halliburton in. Now this line coming all the way down to 1. The line scaling says this line is all over Indiana Pacers. Looks super fishy as well. I like the Pacers plus the 1. It's a super ugly play. No one likes it, but you know those are my favorite, man.
I gotta respect it. I can't join you on it. I'll tell you this. I have manually downgraded the Pacers 2.8 points for the Tyrese Halliburton injury because they are. I mean, I saw them up close and personal when they faced the Nuggets, and it was without Joker, and it was bad. It was bad. Their games resemble a pickup game. The thing with the Bulls is that they play pretty organized. They're not always efficient. They're not always effective, but they play pretty organized and they can actually defend, which is a really weird thing this season. Their problem is offense. I can't get there. You know, here's what's funny though, because the Pacers have been so good at home, they have an extra 2 points over the average at home. I have the Pacers as like a slight, very slight favorite here, even after the downgrade. Okay.
Okay.
If I was getting a better, I'll say this, if this number goes up, if we're recording this on Monday night, if I wake up on Tuesday and the injury report is the same, but the market is like, no, like the Tyrese Halliburton less Pacers are trash, and this goes 2 or 3, I will play money line Pacers. I don't want the points. I just want the money line. I don't want it. I will also indicate this. I have started, I wrote about this on 2 weeks ago on Trends. If it's less than 4, I am just taking the money line because the 4 has been a key number for when teams will foul or not foul this season. Teams will foul if they're down 3, obviously one game, but as soon as it gets to 4, I've seen teams inside 10 seconds down 4, run it out. Just like, oh, well, done. You can go. It's fine. We lost.
My only thing on that, and I just want to say two things real quick. The thing why the Pacers have been bad, you don't want Buddy Hill dribbling the ball, like, ever. Like, yeah. Just catch the ball and shoot. So I think that can be some substance. But Nembhard did sit a couple of those balls, games out. But Nembhard and McConnell really should be the only guys handling the ball. I don't ever want to see – I'd rather Turner bring it up than Buddy Hill. But only other thing I'll say other than that, but I did take OKC earlier this year plus 2 versus the Heat. And it was a game where I had the Mavs plus 1 versus the Bucks as well. Mavs lost by 1 in that one, and it's kind of crazy because I split them. And so I lost the ones that I had the plus 100 money line trying to get the better value, and I won, obviously tied the one at plus 1, so it saved me. But versus the Thunder, they were plus 2. They lost a game by 1, and I did take a little sum on the money line, plus 110, lost that one, but the bets on the plus 2 cash. So personally, my rule is, if I understand what you're saying as far as like a ROI, but I just feel like if you're getting points, I always take them because you never know how close the game could be. If anything, I just split the wages that way, because obviously if you're going to win a money line, you're going to win both of them.
I think if you're a night to night better, take the money line because you're gonna have other spots, so you don't need to go ahead and tie up 2 bets on one game because you're gonna bet enough. If you are more selective and you're only going to play a couple times a week, yeah, go ahead and take the spread, the money line, give yourself the insurance, you can cash both, and it gives you a nice little bonus on top of it if you hit both. By the way, for the Pacers, Andrew Nembhard questionable with the non-COVID illness. It is an illness, though, so Nembhard might be back, and that would be big for this. If he gets cleared, that will get – if that's especially, like, if he gets cleared and the line moves towards Chicago, I will absolutely be on the Pacers' money line.
Last thing, Matt. DeRozan did just come back his first game in a while in Paris, right? And then he played today, whatever, on Monday. So possibly DeRozan – maybe it could be on the injury report, possibly. And they could possibly definitely overlook the Pacers as well. I'm only looking Pacers. I know that much.
One thing I will say, I kind of like the under in this game. Under in games without Tyrese Halliburton, I think, are heading towards 5-2. It's been a good spot this year that basically they can't score efficiently. Like, all of their weapons don't make sense if they don't have Hallie orchestrating things. Bulls defense is a little bit better than expected, and the Bulls are on a back-to-back. By the way, I will say this. Bulls this season, on the second night of a back-to-back on Sega Baba, 5-2-1, 71% against the spread this season. So they've done well in those spots. Over-under is 4-4, so I don't have an edge there. Although the total for the for their average total on second nights of a back-to-back is 227.8, which is quite a bit lower than this number at 237. I'm going to wind up on the under. That's what's going to happen. I'm not going to bet it now. It's not best bet for the night. I'm going to be on the under by the end of it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My only other best bet on the night is going to be the Los Angeles. I want to talk about one more after this, but my best bet is going to be the Los Angeles Lakers +4. So here's what we got with the Clippers. In 2023, the year of our Lord, 2023, all 23 days of it as we sit here on Monday night, the Clippers have only beaten teams from one state, Texas. That's it. They've beaten the Mavericks twice. They've beaten the Spurs, and they've beaten the Rockets. So the two worst teams in the Western Conference and the Mavs, who they have voodoo magic against. This is a Clippers team that's back to full health. I totally get that. I'm willing to give them an upgrade for that. I'm willing to give them a multiple point upgrade for having Kawhi and PG back. Look, power rating, I make this Lakers -6. I don't know what to tell you. The Clippers are garbage. They have the 29th ranked offense in the NBA. That's who they've been. And if you want to say like that's a ridiculous number that's based off of their early season performance, you have to adjust it. Fine. Like, I'll give you Kawhi, PG, Norman Powell back, and they're playing better, and all of these other things. I'll give you 5 points of value, and I'm still at a pick'em. I'm still at pick'em here. Obviously, it's good. Like, it is legit home court here because the Lakers are always going to have the advantage versus the Clippers in terms of home court advantage. Crowd's going to be heavily against them. Clippers are coming off of travel. Lakers have been at home. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So I'm going to go ahead and take the points +4, and I'm going to go ahead and take the money line. I can't reach a point where the Clippers have proven this season to be at any point deserving of being a 4-point favorite on the road. It's not on the road. It's in LA. I get it. They're in their own beds. I get it. I can't get to the Lakers have been this fine. You want to throw out all the numbers? You want to get rid of all that? I'm okay with that. That's fine too. The Lakers have 25 losses. The Clippers have 24. These two teams are even. There's no justification for the idea that the Clippers should be a 4-point favorite in this spot against the Lakers. I have to play the number, Jay.
I couldn't talk you off. I mean, I lean Lakers here as well. I might have to join you. It's Lakers or none for me. They have, you know, I like my revenge spot. So they've lost 9 straight games to the Clippers here. So, I mean, what two this year and 9 straight historically. So, I mean, you got to can only look towards Lakers here. Clippers are 9-1 against the spread over the last 10 in the meetings as well. But that's what I have written down, man. 9 times revenge, double revenge from this year. I'm only looking Lakers. I agree that the Clippers, obviously, I mean, I don't think they should be laying 4 here. I could argue that this could be closer to a pick 'em type of game. Lakers are nothing. 4-1 against the spread last 5 games. It was a huge win as well, coming versus the Blazers as well. So that was a huge spot. Lakers are nothing. I don't know if I'll bet it though.
I have all all the numbers tell me that I've got to bet this game. All the numbers say that this shouldn't be this big of a difference. I'm just gonna tell you, like, if this was -2, I'm probably not gonna bet it. I'm like, yeah, it's fine, right? But I'm at 4. I'm at 4 full points on the Lakers with this differential.
Came down.
Yeah, so that's fine. I'll grab the extra point too. So that's where I'm at for this game. One more I want to talk about. Nuggets-Pelicans. I've been looking forward to this spot all for like a week, and I'm pretty bummed that the number has come out where it has. It popped at Pelicans -1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Look. I cover the Nuggets here in town. I'm in Denver. I will just tell you what I think. Okay. This is, I haven't spoken with anybody. I like their medical staff is a completely obtuse wall. Like, there is no way for me to get any sort of information out of their medical department. Nikola Jokic has hamstring tightness. No one in the organization, not David Adelman, who's acting coach, not any of the players, nobody has indicated that this is a long-term issue. It's hamstring tightness. That's it. It's just discomfort. Now, they get to take a slow approach here because they're number one in the Western Conference. So they get to be like, yeah, Joker, sit out these two games. We can lose a Thunder game. It's no big deal. Joker does not – he the only time that he really kind of gets itchy is after a loss. He does. Like, he gets a little bit like, no, we can't, like, can't start having these losing streaks because he knows that they can spiral. They've got a back-to-back. He's probably going to rest versus, like, players will probably rest versus the Bucks. I would count on Joker missing probably one of the two with the injury. I wouldn't be shocked if he played in both. But if they're going to get one, you want to get one versus the Pelicans, who are a top six team in the Western Conference, who have been a bug in their ear, who are a potential playoff team. You want to get this one. This is the one that matters more. So I think Joker plays. And the minute the Joker's ruled in, if on Tuesday morning, the injury report and Joker's been upgraded to probable, he could still miss. But if he gets upgraded to probable, this line flips completely. This line flips to probably Nuggets minus 2.5 is like realistically what his value is to the spread. At that point, I want Pels. I want Pels for a number of reasons. Nuggets have been at home. They've been comfy at home for weeks. They have played almost the entirety of their schedule for the last 2 months at home. They've played a few one-offs, but for the most part, they've been home. This is the first game of a road trip, okay? So they're getting out of their comfort zone. Then you got this one, which I think is just like my favorite random-ass stat of the season, and you can argue about what the reason is for it, but I think it's really interesting regardless. After you play the Oklahoma City Thunder, the game after you play the Thunder, you are 14-28-4 against the spread this season, 33%. If you say, like, that's got to be just, like, random. It's year over year. It was the same in last year, too. Like, the Thunder the last three seasons have been one of the worst teams after. It's them and the Bucks because they're a pain in the ass to play. They play discipline, they play good defense, and they're physical with a lot of guys with length. If you want the examples of this, the last three – okay, the Nets play the Thunder. The next game, they lose outright to the Spurs. The Pacers play the Thunder. They get thumped by the Nuggets. The Kings play the Thunder. The next game at home, they lose to the Philadelphia 76ers outright as a favorite. So the Nuggets here face the Thunder. Now they've got the Pelicans on Tuesday. I want to wait. MPJ probably misses this game with personal reasons. He's got some pretty rough stuff going on with the family. But Joker, I think that there is a decent chance that he plays. And if he plays, I will absolutely be on Pelicans. If he doesn't play and this line moves towards Pels, it's a no play. That's my read on it, Jay.
Me personally, I wouldn't be surprised if he did play. This line kind of tells me that he probably doesn't play. And me personally, man, with a hamstring, usually when I see anything with hamstring or Achilles, that kind of tells me they want to do it slow because you don't want anything major to happen, right? You got championship aspirations. You don't want any type of major strain because that could really it could really hamper you for like a year, to be honest with you, man. But and definitely don't want to ask guys like Paul George, man. But regardless of that, this is what I have on this game, man. Pelicans here. This is a must-win type of spot here for the Pelicans, in my opinion. And somewhat like the Pacers, they've been really struggling. It's almost the same as the Pacers. But regardless, Brandon Ingram is starting to practice, starting to get close. Like, he's doubtful for this game. He's probably going to play in the next game. So he's super close to coming back. They could juice the guys up. But in must-win J mode here, man, last home game, they got smoked by 30 points in a wire-to-wire loss versus the Heat as well. So they own the home fans. They've lost their last two home games as well. They did beat the Nuggets earlier this season, 121-106, December 4th. But Zion Williamson did have 25 points in that game. But you said it, Nuggets, first game of back-to-back. And that's a horrible spot, man. They have to travel from New Orleans up to Milwaukee, man, on a back-to-back. It's not necessarily one of the best of spots as well. Nine-game winning streak snap. First game on the road after five straight home games. It's only their second road game this year, talking 2023. Nine of their last 10 games have been at the house. 11 of the last 13 have been at the house for the Nuggets. I think they might struggle now that they're going on the road here. But this is their easiest game of this road trip, right? Bucks and then Philly. I'm after that. But Pelicans minus 1.5 kind of tells me that Jokic, we know that Porter's probably out. It kind of tells me that Jokic may be out here.
I'll say this. If Jokic's out, it's a no play. Like, I'm not betting I'm not betting on the Pelicans without Joker.
The last thing that I'll say, this is my main thing. He's won back-to-back MVPs, right? Right before that, it was Giannis MVP. So he, in my opinion, you're going to want to show out versus the Bucks. That's just the way I see it. But they hadn't been. You'd think that they take the Western Conference team more serious, but those spots had really been hidden this season, man, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, they may flip it too. What they may end up doing is they rest Joker on the first leg of the back-to-back and then play and then rest, like, don't play Joker on the first night. He plays versus Milwaukee. Jamal Murray plays versus the Pelicans and then sits versus the Bucks. Like, I could see that happening. That gets Joker an extra night of rest, and it gets you a situation where one of your two stars is playing, so you're not without both of them on the back-to-back. That might be the way that they go about it. I will wait and see, but keep an eye on this line tomorrow. Because there's a lot of things that, you know, if Brandon Ingram gets ruled in, it's going to move the other way. There's a lot of ways that this could go. I want to bet Pels here, but unfortunately that line -1.5, I cannot get on board with it. Even without Joker, I'll say without Joker at Pels -1.5, I would still probably lean Nuggets based off of, like, they've actually won some games without Joker. Haven't won them on the road. That's important, except for the Clippers game, but they've been better, and the Pelicans are in a real spiral. If B.I. and Zion both, or Zion's going to be out, if B.I. doesn't play in this game, and he's, I think, doubtful, then I just don't know if the Pelicans are – I don't know if the Pelicans deserve to be a 1.5 favorite versus the Nuggets, even without Nikola. This is still a pretty good team.
If Joker doesn't play, I'd take the Pelicans in a heartbeat.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how it goes. So to recap, Jay likes – the Mavs trifecta, first quarter, first half, and the full game. He likes the same game parlay on the full game and the first quarter. He likes the Cavs -3, and he'll take the Pacers at home, getting 1 point versus the Bulls. I like the Cavs Knicks over. I like the Lakers +4, and I'll be on the New Orleans Pelicans if Joker plays and this line goes the other direction. I'm also probably going to be on that Bulls Pacers under, I think, for sure. All right, it's going to wrap it up for Best Bets. Make sure to follow along in the Action Network app. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hit those 5-star reviews. You can find a version of the show on YouTube or in the Action Network app. You can follow Jay on Twitter at JayMoneyIsMoney. Until next time, thanks for joining us. Let's get buckets.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.